ورحمة الله وبركاته. Recording. Okay. So the fourth pillar is to believe in the prophets and messengers. Now, who knows what's the difference between a prophet and messenger? Huh?
I think a prophet just has to spread it to their family, and the messenger has to spread it to everyone in their community.
Okay.
Messengers also get a book, the Torah.
Okay. And you,
Messenger is directed by Allah and get a book. How come prophets preach about Allah?
Okay, let me give you an accurate description of what you said is true. The prophets don't get books, the messengers get books. Okay, so that's true. But let me tell you exactly the accurate thing. The accurate difference between the prophets and the messenger. Let's say Prophet Musa. Okay? Prophet Musa's book was Torah. Was what? A Torah. Or let's say Bible, for example. Bible. Prophet Isa's book was the Bible. Okay? If the Christian people they still believe in the Bible, okay? And the Bible is not changed. Okay? And people... Can you write it a little bit? And people... the Bible is not changed, but people started taking... Judaism started not being serious about Judaism. So if the Bible did not change, I'm sorry about Christianity. If the Bible is not changed, if the Bible is the same Bible, no changes, okay? And people just drifted away from Christianity. So they still believe in the Bible, still believe in Allah. But they are not taking Christianity seriously. So Allah will send a prophet. As a reformer. So Allah will send the prophet as a reformer. So here, this is the situation. This Bible didn't change. That's the first situation. Here, the Bible changed. So we have two situations. The first situation, if the Bible didn't change, but people are no longer taking Christianity seriously. They are not talking about the religion. So Allah will send a prophet. Allah will send the prophet. And this prophet will teach them, will bring them back to the Christianity. Will teach them how to take Christianity
seriously.
Agree about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if the Bible has changed, and we don't have the original Bible anymore, then Allah will send a messenger with a different book. You got it? Okay. So a messenger will come to non-believers. But the prophet will come to believers, but not taking the religion seriously. Got it? Stop. Okay. How about the Muslims? Let's now talk about, instead of the Bible, talk about the Quran. Okay. Quran will not change. So that branch here is not possible. So changes is not possible. The Quran, it's not possible to change the Quran. And just think about it. How many copies of the Quran we have? Zillions, zillions copies. And on the internet, how many electronic copies we have? Bazillions. You know? Who can change something in the Quran without being caught? What are the odds? Nobody can change the Quran. Yes.
Do we still have the original Quran that was...
The original Quran that was repeated, that was revealed. Not only that, but we have the tajweed. We have the way we sing it. Alhamdulillah, for example. Allahu la ilaha illa. We have the actual singing of the Quran. And we have the dhammas, we have the fatha, we have the kasra, we have the sukun, we have the harakat. Do you believe? I mean, it's just like, and it's written in a language that is alive today. Okay, so Arabic, 250 million people speak Arabic, right? So they can read the Quran, all right? They can translate it. And the Bible, nobody speaks the language of the Bible at all, period. Okay, the Bible was, people say, yes.
What's the language?
People, some people say it's Greek, others say Aramaic. Is that called Aramaic or Aramaic?
Aramaic.
Huh? Aramaic. Aramaic. So either ancient Aramaic or ancient Greek. Now, or ancient Hebrew. Okay? Now, ancient Hebrew has nothing to do with modern Hebrew. So there's a modern Hebrew, yes. Okay? But it has nothing to do with ancient Hebrew. Because the modern Hebrew was made up, was built up from scratch. Okay? So, anyway, Quran, no changes. So it means that no prophets. Quran, no changes means no more prophets. But seriousness. If you can draw this better than what I do, Zainab. See, the Bible, if it Bible changes, then we get a prophet. If the Bible didn't change, but people are not taking Christianity, not taking Christianity seriously,
okay.
Then a prophet. So here is a messenger, here is a prophet.
Okay.
Okay? In Islam, Quran cannot change. Allah has dedicated himself, Allah has said, the Quran, we have revealed the Quran, and we are guarding it. So Allah did not trust anybody guarding the Quran. Allah trusted the rabbis guarding the Torah, and the priests to guard them, to guard the Bible. And both of them changed. They both changed. The Torah is changed and the Bible is changed. But in Quran, nobody can change the Quran. So the only possibility is that people will not take Quran seriously. Now, if people don't take, we said here, if people are not taking the Bible seriously, they get a prophet, right? If people are not taking Islam seriously, do they get a prophet? No. Then what do you get in replacement? They get something called, someone called reformer. Reformer. You know what a reformer is? Somebody who, Muslims are not taking Islam seriously, so he makes the people take Islam seriously. He brings back people to Islam, to take Islam seriously. But are those people who need to take Islam seriously Muslims or not? They are Muslims, right? But they need to take Islam seriously. So this reformer will do the job. And this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the reformer of the Muslim ummah are going to be equivalent to the prophets.
That's good. The Bible doesn't change.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now with Islam, with Quran, that's not possible. Over here. Quran, that's not possible. So no new messenger. And here, because no more prophets, Allah would send reformers. You see? Okay. Yes.
Can you still have reformers today?
Yeah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every 100 years Allah will send to Muslim ummah reformers to bring them back to Islam.
So Allah sends reformers?
Yeah, Allah will send the reformers.
Is there currently a reformer?
There is nobody in my mind now that I think of a reformer. Maybe in the past 100 years, the previous century, I have some names in mind, people who, but again, it's debatable. But generally speaking, they are a group of people who bring Muslims back to Islam. So, in another word, a messenger will come to non-believers, but the prophet will come to believers. Huh? Mm-hmm. You got that?
Yeah.
The messenger will come to non-believers. Non-believers, and the book changed. Okay? Like the Bible. It's completely changed. Not completely, but mostly changed. Okay? So, the messenger, which is Prophet Muhammad, came to correct the Bible and replace it with Quran. Got it? And so is the Bible, the original Bible. It came to correct the children of Israel, correct them. Mm-hmm. Okay? And override the Torah. You see? Mm-hmm. Every book overrides the one before. Okay? So, do you understand now the difference between a prophet and messenger? Okay. Now, did every prophet teach the same message? The same faith, let me make it clear. Yeah. Every prophet teaches the same faith, true or false?
True.
People on the back row. Every prophet teaches the same faith, true or false?
True.
Every prophet teaches the same Sharia, true or false?
True.
Sharia, you know what Sharia is? Law.
True.
Islamic law or the religious law. True or false?
True.
Huh?
True.
False?
Because it changes over time because people have different traditions over time. Basically, like back in the day, people didn't have to pray, but after Prophet Muhammad came, Allah made the mandatory to pray. So it's kind of like a different message. So the Prophet
exactly. Do people who came, believers who came before Prophet Muhammad, did they pray the way we pray?
No.
Did they fast Ramadan?
No.
And let me tell you more than that. When they used to fast from eating, drinking, romance, and talking.
Talking?
Yes. So you can't talk while you're fasting.
Whoa, that's hard.
Now, they had Saturday, no work. Saturday, which is Sabbath day, no work. Restricted. It was Sunday. Augustine was worshiper of the sun, so he made it Sunday. Like Sunday for the pagans and Sabbath day for the children of Israel, to the Christians. Okay? So every prophet taught a different Sharia. For example, at the Sharia of the children of Israel, a man who marries more than one woman can marry two sisters. Can marry two sisters. Now, in Islam, you can't marry two sisters.
What do you mean two sisters?
Like
you can't marry someone and then marry your sister.
Oh. Yeah. Okay? But in the Islam overrides that. So, you can marry, you can't marry two sisters. Okay.
If you marry a girl,
you can't marry her sister. Islam allows up to four, for reasons we're going to be talking about in class. When stereotypes about Islam come, that they accuse Islam of things, then it will come.
So I'm not sure which class we learned this in, but we learned that a lot of people were allowed to, like, if Allah gave them permission, I'm not really sure how, but they were allowed to marry more than four women because at that
time... You're talking about the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad?
Yeah.
No. So, there is a general submission and there is a specific submission. Mm-hmm. Okay? A specific submission, which is the Islam of Prophet Muhammad, is the one, five pillars. Shahadat Allah ilaha illallah, iqamat as-salah, prayers, charity, hajj. Prayer, charity, fasting, hajj. This is Islam of Prophet Muhammad. How about the Islam of the other prophets? It's different. So each prophet taught a different law. Okay? But they all taught the same faith. Okay? So that's why they say prophets are brothers from different mothers. That's a saying. Like they say prophets are brothers, but for different mothers. So they have the same father, and they have different mothers. Meaning that they have the same faith, but different Sharia, different laws, different regulations. Okay. So prophets are teachers. We said prophets are teachers. Okay? So a teacher would need to teach from a book. Guess what that book is?
Quran.
They need to teach her from the Quran. So they need a textbook to leave behind. They need a textbook to leave behind. Oh, you're trying to list the... Yeah, just say ATC. Just tick, 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 ATC. Oh, okay. Just say ATC. Okay. So, what are these books?
Etc.
Do you know that? Do you know that? The only written book with the language that is alive is Quran. You know that? You know that all other books originally written in a language that's not alive today. All languages are dead. The language of the Torah is dead. The language of the Bible is dead. And the language of Quran is alive. Spoken by more than like 250 million or to 300 million people who speak Arabic. Okay? So Allah preserved the Quran and preserved the language of the Quran. Now, talking about the last thing, which is on like number five, which is the Day of Judgment. What is the significance of the Day of Judgment? If there is no Day of Judgment, what would happen? Go ahead.
No one would really want to believe. Like some people would leave.
No one would get justice for what they do.
Exactly. There would be no justice. Why? Day of Judgment means justice. No Day of Judgment means injustice. Why? Because you can see a person who has been kind all his life or all her life, and a person who's been bad all her life or his life. They both are buried 6 foot underground. They are the same. That's the same ending, right? Mm-hmm. So they both end what? Buried 6 foot underground, right? A bad guy and a good guy will end up buried 6 foot underground. They will end up being equal, right? Is this fair?
No.
Is this justice?
No.
Would God allow such an injustice?
No.
So there has to be a round number two where the good guys are rewarded and the bad guys are punished. Now, if we don't believe in the Day of Judgment, or if there is no motive for me to, for example, why would I pray? Why would I fast? Why would I fight my temptations? Why do I have to do good deeds?
Okay?
Yarhamukumullah. This doesn't mean that by any chance, this doesn't mean that the people who do good deeds and the people who are nice are only believers. No. Other people can be nice, other people can be kind, and they don't believe in the Day of Judgment. But we're talking about the masses. We're not talking about the exceptions. We're talking about the masses of people. If I'm not motivated, why should I fight my temptations? Give me one reason. Why should I fight my temptations? If I am tempted not to do good deeds, let's say I am a person who's not tempted to do good deeds. She is tempted to do good deeds, okay? Even though she doesn't believe, okay? She's tempted to do good deeds. Now, I am a person who's not tempted to do good deeds. She is motivated already because she's motivated by her temptations. Her temptations are making her do good deeds. Okay? I am not tempted to do good deeds. What will make me do good deeds? What will tempt me to do good deeds?
Huh? The promise of like prayers.
Exactly. The love of Allah, the desire to go to Jannah, and the fear of going hellfire. I'll give you an example. If there's a guy who wakes up like in the morning and this person goes to work, okay? Wakes up in the morning and goes to work. Now, he wakes up early in the morning and go to work 8 hours, and then come back home. Okay? Now, this person who does that, what is he being motivated with? What motivates him?
Money.
Money, that's right. Or we can say love of money, desire to be rich, and
fear of being poor.
Exactly. So that desire by itself will get somebody to wake up 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, drive in the traffic jam 2 hours and come back. We'll get this person to do all of these things. Why? Because loves Allah, desire to go to Jannah, and fear of getting to hellfire. Okay? So, if there is no day of judgment, there will be no justice. If I tell you that there is a judge who makes equal the good guys and the bad guys, what would you think?
Why be good if you're not going
to
be punished?
And how about the judge? Is he going to be a wise judge or stupid judge?
Stupid.
Stupid judge. Why? Because he's making the good and the bad equal. They both 6 foot underground. Can we describe Allah as a judge who makes equal the good and the bad? Isn't that the low image of Allah? And this is why the people who don't believe in the day of judgment are sort of insulting Allah, sort of that. Why? Insulting God. Why? Because they're saying God is stupid enough to make equal the good guys and the bad guys. And there are people who don't even believe in Allah. There are people who don't even believe in Allah. And they think that this life is just what you see is what you get. And after that, you're like a machine who stopped working. If one of them is not tempted to do good deeds because of temptations, okay, then they will not do a good deed. Okay? I'm not the person who's tempted. Why would I give you like $500 charity? Why don't I keep them to myself? Why do I give you nice clothes? Why don't I give you like trash clothes? Why do I come here to teach in the Islamic Center instead of enjoying my Sunday morning? And I'm volunteering here. Why would I volunteer if there is no day of judgment? I can tell you about myself, if there is no day of judgment, I would have been a totally different person. I saw Islam protects us from superstition, belief. Islam protects us from superstitious beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. So we can't, like the Greeks and the Romans, they used to have superstitious belief. They believe in gods and goddess, and God fights with goddess, and goddess marry God, and they have all these kind of superstitious belief. Islam protects us from there. Just imagine these superstitious belief filling up your brain. You would be a different person. Okay? So Islam protects you from these superstitious beliefs. Islam also protects your innocence. You're born innocent, you continue to be innocent because you're following Islam, and then you end innocent. When you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have innocent heart. Okay, then we move on to the belief of the qadr, which is the fate, okay, which is number 6. Now, about the fate, what do you think the fate is?
Like how to practice Islam and what's going to happen on the day of judgment, like where you're going to end up.
Okay, who knows what belief in the fate is?
Fate.
F-A-T-E. Fate,
F-A-T-E.
Like
what's going to happen in the future,
yes,
if you do,
yes,
something.
Well, I was trying to get you guys to tell me what fate is. Now, fate is to accept the decisions made by Allah. And not feel angry at Allah. You know, a lot of people, because they don't believe in Allah, they suffer so much. And they become very, very sad. There was a case, I don't know if I've told you about this case or not, but there were parents who have 4 kids. They put their 4 kids in the back seat, and then they turned on the car, and they left the base, and they accidentally left the door of the garage closed. So the door of the garage is closed, the car is running, And then they forgot to do something, so they went inside, okay, and inside the house, and they left the kids in the back of the sea. When they came back, they found four kids are dead because of the smog. Smog filled up the garage because the door is closed. So they breathed smog, so they died. Do you understand? Okay, if you want to like kill yourself, what you do is just like turn on the car, the garage door is closed, and then you close the door of the garage. In no time, like in a few minutes, you'll be dead because of the smog. The smog is going to, you'll start breathing smog, it poisons your body. Take it, yes.
There was a similar story, I think it was somewhere in the East Coast, about a family on a car trip, and then what happened was that
Kids died.
Even the wife did, because he was trying to like clear the snow, and he didn't realize that the carbon was going through the AC. And
that's like an atrocity. I mean, atrocity, like you, like, just imagine this happened to you. What would be your situation? If this happened to you, what would be your situation? How would you feel? The wife said, I have so much pain in my heart. I never, ever, ever imagined that this kind of pain existed. She's having so much pain that she's saying, I've never, ever, ever, ever thought that much pain would ever exist on earth. I never thought about that. So they went, instead of killing themselves, they went to manage the grieving management classes.
Grieving management classes.
It's a class to help you how to control your grief and sadness so that you don't kill yourself. Guess what was the first lesson they learned in these classes? I was amazed. Huh? They didn't say God. Because, you know, to be politically correct, they can't see God. Say God. But they say you have to submit yourself to the will of the higher power. You have to accept the decisions made by higher power. I said, subhanAllah, that's the six pillars of faith. You have to accept the decision of the higher power. They tell them, okay, there is a higher power, whatever it is, God, whatever it is, we're not going there. But there's a higher power. Eh? And this higher power somehow decided that your kids get killed, or the kids die. Now, you have to surrender yourself to the highest higher power, meaning that you have to accept the decisions made by higher power. So the sixth pillar of faith is to accept the decision, okay, of Allah. Now, technically speaking, they should have accepted the decisions of Allah. But because they can't mention Allah, they say, accept the decisions of the higher power. Anybody else? You had
but
a question?
Isn't that basically God?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They can't say God.
But they can't
You're
say
not
God.
Legally allowed to say that.
It's not illegal. You can't say that. But they wanted to make it general. They wanted to make it general.
So that way, if, like, say you are a Hindu, you could replace that blank hole for yourself with their gods and goddesses.
Yeah.
Or if, like, you were atheist, you could just believe that it's a force of nature or the rules of the universe or whatever like that.
I saw a person... Her husband and children are died in a car accident. She was picking up stones and throwing, just like in the high. It's like throwing on Allah. Why did you do this to me? Why did you take away my children? Why? What have I done to you? What have I done wrong? Why don't you pick on me? Why didn't you pick somebody else? Why? There are so many people who are worse than me. Why don't they get to keep their husband and children and you take mine? Does that sound like a person who believes in the sixth pillar?
No.
Yeah. So, sometimes people who, they think, they get angry at Allah. They get mad. They get angry. And they say, I've heard it from my one brother. His son died. Wallah, I heard it with my own ears. He said, I did hajj to Allah, and I prayed to him to keep my family safe and my children. And he doesn't. And he didn't.
Sometimes you're just not yourself, right? You're out of your mind.
Here it is. Let me tell you about what happens to the people who don't accept the decision of Allah. So let's say this happened to me. My kids and my wife died, and I don't accept the decision of Allah. Then this is what I'm going to do. I'm saying, why did you take my kids? Why did you take my wife? Why? Why? You're so mean. They call you so kind. You have no kindness. Why did you do this to me? What have I done? So, thinking low of Allah. Yeah. Now, there is an important distinction here that I have to make. Okay? We said about accusing Allah of being mean, of being not kind, of being not fair. That goes against the sixth pillar of faith. Right away. Goes against that. And this is why I don't like to call it believe in fate. Now, that name doesn't click with me. I like to call it accept the decisions of Allah. Accept the decisions made by Allah. You can say, why did he make me a boy? I wanted to be a girl. Why did he make me a girl? I wanted to be a boy. Why is he giving me this shape? I wanted a better shape. This girl is pretty. Why is she more pretty? Why does she get to get more beauty than me? Why was I born Arab? Why wasn't I born white, Caucasian, blonde hair, blue eyes? Why? All these, we have to accept the decisions made by Allah. Who made that decision? Allah. Do you like it? Yes? If you don't like it, what's the solution if you don't like it? Huh? Live with it. So they teach them, you have to surrender yourself to the higher power. If you don't, they tell them, if you don't, they say, bang your head against the wall. Keep banging your head against the wall. But why? And then at the end, what's going to happen? What's going to be the end? After you bang your head for a month. Okay, what's the end? You have to accept the decision. Hate and cursing Allah and thinking lowly of Allah and crying and hitting your head and yelling and screaming. Okay. And then at the end, would that bring your kids? Would that bring you back what you lost? Would that do? So we say the believer from day one achieves what the non-believer will achieve at day 30. Right? So accepting or living with the decision, okay? Or accepting the decision made by Allah. Believer will accept it from day number?
One.
Non-believers will accept it from day number?
30.
So they get to suffer 30 days. Good luck. Bang your head against the wall. There is nothing. This will not bring your kids. So I was amazed that they say, surrender yourself to the decisions made to the power hell. Surrender yourself to the will of the higher power. So that's exactly what believe in the Day of Judgment is.
So wait, what are the five stages of loss? It's grief.
No, first is denial.
Okay, right.
Denial.
And we were learning this in language.
Denial.
But in your head. Then it was I think it was anger, grief. Okay. Then it was
not accepting.
That's denial. I think then it was confusion, like what do I do next, like that. Okay. Then it was depression, and then it was acceptance.
Okay.
Exception.
Hopefully there is no suicide there. Yeah, there is a guy, just my wife was telling me about a guy in Apple, he had all his stocks invested in Apple, and then when people decide they don't want to upgrade their iPhones anymore, because I'm not going to buy, that's 6S 128 gigabyte. Why would I go and buy number 7? There's no reason. So many people are like me. They said, we're not going to upgrade because what we have is already enough. So the stocks went down, and then the guy lost his money. He committed suicide.
Oh God.
That's way too far. Yeah,
you have to think about other people before you do suicide.
In the old days, Japanese, if they fail, they kill themselves.
Yeah.
If they fail in a task. Yes.
Samurai.
Yes. Social studies. At one point, once they were done serving, they cut their stomachs off.
Two tickets.
Kamikazes are like suicide bombers. They just like attack their enemies.
Yeah, but the samurai was something else.
It was like seppuku.
There we go.
Yes.
Seppuku.
Yeah,
what is
seppuku? It's when the samurai.
No, or just one.
They have a grand feast in honor of their memories, and then near the end of the ceremony, they take their sword and would stab themselves in the stomach and make a circle. And while doing that, someone would go behind them and cut off their head. So technically, they didn't kill themselves.
I don't want to know this.
Thank Allah, Islam protects us from this superstitious belief. Islam protects us from these superstitious beliefs. Completely. A belief that it doesn't matter you do, God loves you, and you're forgiven. All these superstitious beliefs make problem. One Latino guy, he complained to me, he said, okay, here is what happens. Christianity says wine is okay. The biggest problem we have in Latin America is drinking, being alcoholic. So if the Bible says it's okay, then here's a problem there. So Islam protects you from these superstitious beliefs. Yes?
So a girl, she's very interested in Islam. She's a Muslim from other school. And she came and asked me this question. I didn't know the answer to it. She was just like, the Bible and the Quran have similar question stuff. So in the Bible, it says that women should cover their hair and they should wear hijabs, and so does it say in the Quran. Why do people of the Quran go more by the book than people of Christianity not go by the Bible?
Because they don't care about their own.
They are not raised to take Christianity seriously.
Okay, so
we are raised to take Islam seriously, and we were raised to respect Allah.
Some people don't take the Quran seriously who are Muslims. Like,
I want to answer Sadaba's question. My friend, she's like, oh, I have to go to church on Sunday. And she's always complaining like about her things. So she considers it a burden to be in her religion rather than...
She gets a nap during the speech of the priest.
Yeah.
She takes a nap.
Okay. So she basically feels like...
Before we go, let me explain one last point I wanted to explain. Okay, if you have a problem, can you cry?
Yeah.
Can you feel sad?
Yeah.
Can you think? Can you think lowly of Allah?
No.
So, cry. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When his son Ibrahim died, what did he do?
Cried.
But he said, "The heart is sad. The eye." Cries, but we don't say anything or we don't have any thought or say anything. Okay? That is the sort of against Allah. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't cry, you really have a problem. You really have a problem if you don't cry, if you don't feel sad. However, you cry, you feel sad, all is okay. But you have to accept the decision. Accept the decision and cry. Accept the decision and feel sad. Accept the decision is the most important part. Crying is not a problem, and sadness is not a problem at all. Okay.
So it's not necessarily the emotions that's the problem, but how we respond to them.
Right. Not accuse. Remember, don't accuse Allah. There are people, like there is a guy who saw people are born, like Prince Charles. He was born to be a prince with all money and fame. You and me will struggle all our lives and we can't get even close to him. Yes. At the same time, there's somebody else who was born to starve in Africa. To starve, and they die out of starvation. And my question to you, who made that decision?
Allah.
Can we question his wisdom?
No.
Okay. What if you, it happens to you, like you're very poor? Okay. Okay. He who decided that? You're born in the United States, but if you're born outside of the United States, who decides that? Who decides your gender? Who decides your look? Do you accept this? Do you respect the decision? Do you think Allah's mean?
No.
Do you think Allah's not fair?
No.
No. Okay? You say, you made this a guy, prince, and you made this guy to starve to death. You're not fair. Can you say that?
No. You should think higher of yourself, because like if you live in a family and you have a home, there's people that are less than you. You should think like that.
Yeah, that's right. That's one way. Yes.
You should not really like look at people who are above you, because there's always going to be people above you.
Yeah.
But like, you should always look at people below you.
Yeah.
So like you can like be thankful of what you have.
Yes, exactly. However, people in Africa, there's no lower than them. In terms of their shoes made of soda bottles, like, and they basically, they when they learn something, they write on the floor, on the ground. They are so poor. Now, they are so poor, and then they go to the TV, they watch TV somewhere, they see somebody who has a garage, a three-story house, and backyard, and clean streets, and flowers. They get to see that. Look how miserable they become. In the past, there was no TV, so that was a relief. One of the bad things that the TV did is that is show poor people.
It provokes jealousy.
Yes, it shows poor people what are the rich are enjoying. When somebody lives in a small room, he, seven children, and his mother-in-law. Yeah, and then they are happy. When they go to TV and see this is a garage and this is blah blah and the nice cars and the all these things and Hollywood and blah blah and magic mountains and these, they feel miserable. They feel miserable, really feel miserable. Can, if you're a Muslim, can you question Allah for doing that? If you don't like it, bang your head against the wall. And that's why the sixth pillar of faith is extremely important. Are we born with equal opportunities? No. Are we born with equal rights?
No.
Yeah. Technical spelling, equal rights is questionable.
Well, nowadays.
Nowadays are not even equal rights.
No, before women had little rights compared to men. So.
Well, and still.
Look at different countries.
And still. Yeah.
Different countries, but then a lot of people say that people have different rights. That rich people have more rights than poor.
You shouldn't be thinking that the whole world is United States.
Everyone has. In the United States, have you seen other countries?
It's really good ones.
Have you studied in other
countries? All right.
We're talking about the United States right now.
Thank you very much. I'll see you next week.